Our Bible reading is from Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at the first verse. It's page 868 in the Church Bible, if you have one of those. So verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
Well, let's turn to that passage in Ezekiel chapter 37. You've probably heard that famous spiritual, "Dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord." Well, this is the chapter that that song is based on. It's probably the most famous passage in Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel's given a vision by the Spirit of God, and he sees a valley full of bones. Death Valley, if you like. The bones have been here a long time. They're dry bones. The vultures have had a feast. They're very dry. Nothing left to eat for vultures. They're in a valley, which probably means it's the aftermath of a battle, because in a mountainous country like Israel, battles used to take place in the valleys. And there's a reference in verse 10 to a vast army. So this is an army that has been annihilated, completely annihilated. It's a scene of utter desolation and death. And the bones are lying unburied, which in the ancient world and in the Old Testament was a huge disgrace. To be unburied was a huge disgrace. It was a mark of divine judgment. In fact, here you've got a vivid picture of what God had actually promised Israel centuries earlier if she turned to other gods and if she was unfaithful to the covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verses 25 and 26, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. and you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. You will be eaten by vultures. So it's hard to imagine a more desolate and depressing and hopeless scene than this valley of dry bones. And if looking at it wasn't bad enough, in his vision, Ezekiel, who you remember was a priest, he'd been trained as a priest, he was, in his vision, set down in the middle of this valley of dry bones. Remember, the death for a priest was defiling. Priests weren't allowed to have contact with the dead. He was set down in the middle of this valley of dry bones, and he was led to and fro among them. God was really rubbing it in. It was a place not only of death and desolation for a priest like Ezekiel, it was a place of defilement. But he was told to inspect the shattered army of dry bones, and he must have been appalled at what he saw. So what does this vision mean? What's it all about? Well, we don't have to look far for the answer to that. You just have to look at verse 11. He said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." These bones, they're Israel. They're the whole house of Israel. This is an unforgettable picture of Israel. Israel was God's chosen nation. God had revealed himself to Israel. He had redeemed Israel from captivity in Egypt. He had done that in order to make her a model nation. His nation, who would win the other nations of the world to the God of Israel. And he'd promised to bless her and to make her a blessing if she would obey him, if she would be faithful to his covenant with her. We know from the first part of the book of Ezekiel that after centuries of disobedience on the part of Israel, centuries of idolatry, centuries of stubborn self-will, God had finally punished Israel. He had withdrawn from the temple. He had left the temple. And he had allowed the Babylonian armies to come and to destroy the city of Jerusalem and to destroy the temple, no less. And then the population was deported into exile. This is what it had all come to. God's nation. And this is what it had all come to. This is the house of Israel, says God to Ezekiel. They say, verse 11, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." It's finished. We're dead. Temple destroyed. No sacrifices. Jerusalem a heap of rubble. No king. No land. No hope. This is the Exodus in reverse. Remember the book of Exodus, when God took his people Israel out of a foreign land into the land of Canaan. And here is reversed the process. He's expelled them from the land of Canaan back into a foreign land. We're dead. Our hope is gone. Desolation, despair, death. Humanly speaking, the Babylonian exile was the end of Israel. Babylon was Israel's graveyard. Israel now had no more future than this huge heap of dry bones. That's what this vision meant. So then comes the question in verse 3. Son of man, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? In context, that means, can Israel ever be restored? Can she ever become the people she was meant to be? Will she ever return from exile? Will she ever return from death to life? Remember when the prodigal son returned from his self-imposed exile in the far country, his father said to him, "My son was dead but he's alive again. He was in the far country in exile. As far as I was concerned, he was dead. But he's alive again. He's come home. Would that ever happen to Israel? Son of man, can these bones live? Well, Ezekiel refuses to commit himself. Oh, sovereign Lord, he said, you alone know the answer to that question. I can't answer that question. But he's not left in doubt for long, because in verses 4 to 10, he sees this great army of bones begin to come to life. It happens in two stages. First of all, he hears a lot of rattling, and the bones begin to come together. And then muscle and flesh and skin begin to cover the skeleton. And now we've got a valley not just full of bones or skeletons, but full of corpses. Which isn't much better, really, is it? But then stage two comes, and God sends his breath. And the same Hebrew word, and in fact in the New Testament the same Greek word, means breath and spirit. God sends his breath, God sends his spirit, and these corpses come alive, and they stand on their feet, a vast army. In other words, God is able to bring life to the dead. God is able to bring life out of death. Israel's hope is not gone. There is hope, not in herself, but there is hope in her God. God can bring Israel to life. Some years later, amazingly, Israel did return to the promised land. The temple was rebuilt. And that's one level of fulfillment of this prophecy. But that fulfillment is just a foreshadowing of a much more amazing fulfillment, which we read about in the New Testament, and which I'll come to in a minute. But I want to ask the question now, what does this vision have to say to us? What does it mean for us? Well, if this vision was a picture of Israel, then it is equally a picture of mankind as a whole. Because the story of Israel is actually just a rerun of the story of mankind. Just as Israel was expelled from Canaan into exile in Babylon because of her disobedience to God, so at the beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve were expelled from Eden, where there was access to the tree of life, into exile and into death because of disobedience to God. In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And after they'd eaten, you are dust, and to dust you will return. Death is the punishment for sin. And as Adam and Eve walked away from that Garden of Eden, they may well have said, as Israel was saying in Ezekiel chapter 37, our hope is gone. We are cut off. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. We're dead. Cut off from God, the source of life. Dead now, spiritually. No relationship with the living God. And heading for physical death and for eternal death. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. And so, the question that God asks Ezekiel in verse 3, we also can ask ourselves, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And the answer to this question is yes, they can. Amazingly, yes, they can. And what happens in Ezekiel's vision is just a foreshadowing of a much greater event in the New Testament. 600 years after Ezekiel, Jesus came. Jesus came, Son of God. and he came to bring life to the dead. That's what he said. He said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it to the full. You're dead, but I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it to the full. And Jesus talked about eternal life. John chapter 5 verse 24, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has eternal life. He will not come into condemnation, but he has passed from death to life. Jesus came with eternal life. Colin has already quoted, thank you Colin, John chapter 3 verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his own only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal everlasting life. And Jesus says to Martha at the grave of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and he who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And on one occasion, when a lot of his so-called followers were leaving him, Jesus said to Simon Peter, or to the disciples, to the 12, will you also leave? And Simon Peter said, where can we go? You only have the words of eternal life. Jesus came into this world to bring life to the dead. Spiritual life now, a relationship with God now, a living relationship with God now, and resurrection life in the age to come. Life even for our very bodies in the age to come. Just as Jesus was restored to resurrection life, so his people will be restored to resurrection life in and through him. So Jesus came with life for the dead. And this life, according to the New Testament, came at the cost of Jesus' death. There had to be death. There had to be death, because the wages of sin is and must be and always will be death. So there has to be death. So our life came at the cost of Jesus' death. And on the cross at Calvary, Jesus tasted death. Jesus tasted death for everybody. He accepted on our behalf the wages of sin, which is death, so that we might receive eternal life. He was cut off. For a time it looked as if it was him who was saying, all hope is gone. I am cut off. Let me point you to another scene in the New Testament which is as desolate and as hopeless as this valley of dry bones. It's the cross of Calvary, where the body of the Son of God is dead on the cross. He's under the curse of God. Cursed is everyone whose dead body is hung upon a tree. He's finished. His body is taken down from the cross. He's put in a tomb, and the stone is rolled over the entrance to the tomb. All hope is gone. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And his death for our sins and his resurrection means that everybody who belongs to him will live now with a living relationship with God, and will live in the age to come in the new heaven and the new earth with a resurrection body like unto his glorious body. Jesus came to bring life to the dead. Have you come alive? Being a Christian isn't just ticking a few statements of faith, a few doctrinal beliefs. Being a Christian isn't just putting up your hand in a meeting, although that might work. Being a Christian is coming alive. It's coming alive to God. Are you alive spiritually? Have you got a living relationship with God? Do you love God? Do you respond to his word? Do you do what he tells you? Are you alive spiritually? Do you like to talk to him? Do you like to listen to his word and read his word? Have you got a living relationship with God? Do you want others to know about him? Do you like to tell others? Have you got the signs of spiritual life in your heart? Are you alive? Have you got eternal life? Are you looking forward to being raised with Jesus into the new heaven and the new earth? Okay, so that's how this valley of dry bones applies to us. It applied to Israel, it applies to us as well. And one other important point that I just want to mention to you from this chapter, and that is that in his vision, Ezekiel is not just a passive spectator. God actually gives him a part to play in his vision. He's told to prophesy to the bones. Now, if ever there was a crazy job description, it must have been that. Preach to the dead. Preach to the bones. There's a valley of dry bones. Now, Ezekiel, go and preach to them. Well, I've known what it is very occasionally to preach to a sleeping person. Very occasionally. Sometimes happens. I've known what it is occasionally to preach to a person who is asleep. But dead. Well, I hope not. Bone. Preach to the bones, Ezekiel. What a depressing job description. But he does it. And it is as he prophesies that things begin to change. Things begin to stir. Things begin to rattle. And the bones begin to move. But it's not enough. That just brings us to stage two, where Ezekiel has to prophesy to the breath. And it's only when God sends the breath, when God sends the Spirit, but in response to Ezekiel's prayer, that those corpses actually stand up and come alive, a vast army. It is God's Word and God's Spirit together that bring life to the dead. When we preach to non-Christians, we're preaching to the dead. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. They're not going to do anything at all. We're wasting our time unless God sends the breath, unless God sends the Spirit. But he will, and he does when his word is preached. And we've seen it. We've seen Cassie come alive. We've seen Colin come alive. As the word has come to them. In various ways, Christianity explored, testimonies of baptisms, the word has come to them. They've heard the gospel, they've heard the word of God. And as they've heard the word of God, and as the Spirit has applied that word, they've begun to come alive from being dead. So we must preach the word. The last thing that churches should do, the last thing that churches should do is downplay preaching. Downplay the preaching. Soft pedal the preaching of the word. Because that's how people come alive. And I've known churches that have been dead. Churches with, humanly speaking, no hope. Churches, humanly speaking, that are graveyards. As a man has gone there and taught the Bible, bit by bit, gradually, things have begun to rattle. People have begun to move. And gradually, through the preaching of the Word, and through the coming of the Spirit along with the Word, through the prayers of God's people, because that's how the Spirit will come, gradually we've seen churches begin to come alive. Churches that have been dead, churches that have had no hope. We've seen them many on a number of occasions. Churches beginning to come alive and coming alive. Churches with a future that once were dead. And it's happened not through some new gimmicky idea. It's happened through the preaching of God's word, week by week, through the prayers of God's people, and through the coming of God's Spirit. That's how God works. That's how God brings the the dead to life. No matter how dead things are. And these bones were very dead. God can bring them to life. Can these bones live? Is God's question to Ezekiel. And amazingly, the glorious answer to that question is yes, they can. Yes, they can. By God's power and by God's grace, these bones can live. Isn't that great news?